Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start with that. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. All right. We'll start from verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." He says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." He said, "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, this is, although I've said this for two, this is the third time I'm saying this, all right, so I hope it works today. This is supposed to be our conclusion of how to deal with the devil in your life series that we have been talking about. The last two meetings like this, the Holy Spirit just led me in a different direction, and I spoke things which I'm persuaded minister to the needs of the people, but I still have to conclude that series of teachings on how to deal with the devil in your life. It's our prayer series. Now, we read this one before. Let's just read the other one again, the book of Luke chapter 4. Quickly, let's read that, and then I say what I want to say, talking specifically about prayer. The book of Luke chapter 4. Again, because we know this very well, I'll just briefly run through it. This is the story of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that after he had been in the wilderness for some time, the devil now came to him, verse 3, and began to tempt him. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And then he also told him in verse 5 that all the kingdoms of the world, which I have just shown you, he was saying, "I will give to you and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, it shall all be yours." I don't know whether I struck you for a moment on who handed it over to him. Did you ever think about that? That if you are of the classic word of faith teaching, you will say it's Adam. Do you understand? Yeah, but it's not so. It is not so. I'm not saying that that doctrine is totally wrong. It's just that there is more to it than just Adam committing one sin and then the devil ruling over everything. What happens is that the devil has to tempt each person at each time to check whether what God has committed into their hands, they will give to him to run. Are you getting my point? That's just the way it is. And all the choices you make in life, they're either yielding your life to the control of the devil, or is yielding your life to the control of the Holy Spirit. That's just the way it is. When we're talking about those who are led by the Holy Spirit, what we are saying is that when you make choices, it's determined by who is directing you, what is pushing you. And when you make choices that are being pushed by the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, what's happening is that you are giving the devil control over your life. You cannot go and use your life to tempt somebody else and say, "This person has already given me this kingdom that God gave to her or gave to him to her, control." So that was what really happened. I said, "It has been handed over to me." You had to work hard to have that statement accurate as far as that time was concerned. I now said, "I give it to whoever I wish." He now said to him, verse 7, "Therefore, if you worship before me..." Now, why I just said that is just for us to be careful. When we are making choices in life, we have to be careful that battles are being fought over our lives to check whether the devil will be able to say this concerning the kingdom that you control that has been handed over to him or not. And I said to the Lord Jesus, "Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours." And the Lord answered in verse 8, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and only and serve him only." Now, let me just stop here. Now, let me just summarize everything we have said concerning how to deal with the devil in your life with just what I want to teach here today. Now, we say this all the time, and we must never stop, that we must never forget the truth. And we say that life is a battle of what? life is a battle of words. Important statements to note. Let me just start with that. Is that spiritual things are real. You know, God gave me an understanding, I believe. Once I meditate, I understand things. That's just my life, amen? Just because of my assignment in life, I'm a teacher of the Word of God. You know, one of our brothers wrote an article the other day. Very beautiful. If I knew I was going to quote this, I would have printed it out, all right? Maybe when we finish this series, the next one, we'll talk about how to pray for a nation. Very important. Because you live in Nigeria, amen?
Amen.
And Nigeria must prosper, amen?
Amen?
Even if you run to America, wherever you are, that country must prosper. So you must know, and it's a Christian, it's part of the duties of believers to pray for the nation that they are in. It's part of the duties of believers to ensure, you understand, that they constantly pray for wherever they reside. They must never get tired. That's why Jesus said, men, the Bible says like this, that he told them a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint or to get tired. That's what it means. And I've thought about that before, that the Lord never commands concerning that. What I mean is this, if eating is natural to you, God will not command you, thou shalt eat. Anytime he tells you do something, what it means is that the opposite is likely to be the normal thing. So when he says, you must not get tired, all right? You know what that tells you? It is is likely to happen very frequently. In fact, it's going to be the normal trend of things that you are going to, life will make it, what am I trying to say? You know what I want to say?
Yes.
It's just the words I'm trying to choose. Life will make it in such a manner that the natural tendency is for you to what? Get tired. That is, it means that you will ask for something and it will appear to be delayed and you almost want to give up praying about it. You understand my point? If that wouldn't have happened, the Lord Jesus would not have said that you ought to pray and not to get tired. What he was saying, he was warning ahead that when you start praying, you understand, you're going to start one day and start praying about violence in the country. You understand? And then you buy the paper the next day, you hear that Boko Haram went somewhere and killed 50 students. And then you go to church again and pray, why, when is judgment going to come to an end? God, why? They say, no, it's because you didn't know how to rebuke. Then you start to rebuke, rebuke. As soon as you finish rebuking like this, next day you buy the paper, you hear that Fulani herdsmen went to a village and poisoned everybody and 50 people died. Then you go back and pray. You understand the tendency, all right? The natural tendency is that you say, what good is it that we have prayed like this? Are you getting my point? The natural tendency is that you start wondering, why am I bothering to do this? You pray about things in your life, the same thing will happen. It is not because, I don't want to get sidetracked into that now. It is not because God doesn't hear prayers. But you must understand that you're not the only one living on this earth. Did you hear that? Yes. You're not the only person. We're having a discussion today, how quickly can you get from here to Benin? Someone said, no, we said 4 hours generally. I said, no, it's a lie. Benin is 2.5 hours. I said, let us assume that your car is very good, the road is very flat, there are no checkpoints, and everybody left the road for you. It is 2.5 hours. But on a normal day, when there are checkpoints, there's bad road, there are holds ups at strategic places, especially when you get to Onitsha. And if not get at a certain time, when nothing's bad, everybody just going about their business. Because everybody has to go about their business. And you have to queue up too to go about your business. Suddenly, another extra hour has been added to it. It's also like that with prayer. Many times you pray that God should do something, and he wants to do it. But the person in whose life you want it to be done, or through whom you want it to be done, or the person that's involved in the situation, say, I don't want it done. You think God is just going to do it like that? Sometimes, what he does is to go through a process of persuading the other person that it is vital. Because there are times that the only option, if you insist that God, now it must be done, now, today you must do it. God says, okay, let me kill somebody so that it will be only you remaining. He said, no, Lord, you will have mercy on him, have mercy on her. He said, look at it now. You say, I must do this today. I must not kill anybody. Meaning that other people they have a word to say about the situation. The person you are praying for, he's going around blabbing nonsense away. I thought about it the other day. You know, I was listening to the Bible on CD. And then angel had to shut the mouth of Zachariah so that The man, I was thinking about it, why? Like Gabriel said, listen, this is a critical situation. We don't have time to waste. I may have had to spend another few years explaining to you how to change your name so that you become Abraham, you now become Abraham. And I said, but I don't have time for that. Jesus is ready to come. The guy that will go before him has to go now. Do you understand my point? So this long talk, I don't have time for it. Just shut his mouth. You know the interesting part? I was watching a video in my house as children's a cartoon, a Bible stories. They said they couldn't hear. So I was telling myself that the Bible never said he couldn't hear now. It was today I realized that actually he also couldn't hear. Because the Bible said when they wanted to know which name, they didn't talk to, they made signs. Which name do we call thee? That is, the angel didn't only shut his mouth, he shut his ears. Why? If I leave his mouth open, this man will spoil something. If he's hearing things again, he will spoil something. So God had to, now, many people involved in the situations you are praying about, God doesn't want to close their ears or close their mouth. After all, your prayer is so that they also will be blessed. You get what I'm saying? That is why sometimes prayers appear delayed, especially when you are not praying just about yourself. It involves somebody else. Sometimes it's just your wife, it's your husband. But the fact that you are married to the person doesn't mean the person, God now say, you are the head of this house. Amen. Now this woman doesn't have a mind again. Whatever you say will just happen, bizarre. It's not like that though. And that when you pray and declare, God has to go and start persuading your wife too. Oh girl, agree now. Oh, it's your husband you are praying for. God has to go and persuade the person. You too. It was when two of you are agreed. This one that the disagreement. Disagreement doesn't just mean say the car is going to be red. I say blue. It's not just that. There are many things that we could agree upon. Sometimes can God do it? It's a matter of agreement. I'm going to say, no, God can't do it. One of the things I learned from Ken Hagin then is that he prayed for his wife. I think his wife had a goiter. I can't write details. Now, he prayed and prayed and prayed. This is the same man who laid hands on his wife's mother's huge goiter. And the thing deflated like a balloon. He laid hand on her. The thing went down. Phew! Like that. He prayed for his wife and prayed and prayed and prayed. And prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. After a while. He said, the woman, now, something's not working here. What can you believe? And the woman said, I can believe that I will go to hospital. I can believe that I will be operated upon without any problems. I can believe that I will come out of the operation, I will be fine. So the man said, no problem. I hope I'm not mixing too many stories up. I've not heard this in a long time, narrated. But this really happened. And I said, so we are going to pray about that. So they prayed about that. And after her surgery, she healed so fast, the doctors were marveled. Like, what's going on? But all the while, he was trying to say, in the name of Jesus, this goiter disappeared. Poor! The goiter didn't go anywhere. Until he realized that, no, let me talk to this woman. And when he spoke, suddenly he said, look, he realized that she was not at that level he was trying to get to. He said, okay, what can we agree on? When they got to that point, he said, no problem, I can also agree with that. So he stepped down from the level where he was on, came down to her level, they prayed, and God did it for them. That's why Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not get tired of praying. There are many things happening. Now, why I said, you know, I said that the other day I was thinking and I had an understanding. That's what I'm talking about. So, like, you take a country like ours, God has helped me to understand that. I know God is answering my prayers. You hear what I said? In fact, every day, you know, I read the news sometimes twice a day. You know what I'm looking for? I tell you, make you laugh. I just read the news of Boko Haram. I'm counting bodies on the other side. I don't know you know what I mean by the other side. When they hear that Boko Haram did this, that is, they kill people, I say, no, wahala. Vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So yesterday I got good news. I think they wiped out like 600 of them at the go. I said, good. I said, very good. Very good. Very good. The Lord is good. And I will, now listen to this. I will keep on praying. I will keep on pushing. And we don't stop. We don't stop. We keep on putting that pressure on. Now, the understanding as it came to me, one of my brothers wrote something. If I knew I was going to quote it, I would have brought it out. Okay? I'm back to it now. I've digressed a bit, but now I'm back to it. Now, so one of my brothers, all right, he wrote that article. It was describing the job that each person has. I want to read it. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful the way he wrote it. Talking about the nation. You've heard people call the president clueless. You've heard words like that. It was invented last year, clueless. I hope you have never said it. In case you said it, on God's behalf, I forgive you. As long as you go and do what? Sin no more. The Lord is good. Let me see whether I can quickly get it out. It's such a beautiful, beautiful... There's a way he said it. Now, he was talking about praying for the country. And after I read what he said, in fact, it was when I finished reading this, an understanding came to me. And later on, when we are talking about how to pray for the country, I'll probably expound it further. But he said something that each person has his duty. Listen to this. The role of the social critic is to criticize. The role of opposition parties is to come into government by all means, including pulling down, making sure the current government is discredited, etc. The role of pressure groups is to mount pressure through every available means, both good and bad, for their own share of the national cake. I hope you are following that. Yes, sir. The role of the international community is to use every available means to protect their vested interests in the country. Nobody is after truth. Nobody. 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 But that of the church, that is the work of the church, the role of the church, is to mount word and spirit pressure for the manifestations of the vested interest of the kingdom of God. You mount word pressure by speaking, and you mount spirit influence by praying. Now, what I like about it is that he pointed out each person's role. Don't ever envy Ganifa. Okay, it's late now, but it's not an enviable job. Are you getting my point? You cannot be a doctor, as an example, and you're envying the mechanic, or the pilot, or the policeman, or the soldier fighting Boko Haram. Each man is doing his own duty. Even if the fellow sounds good and right, it is his job, it's not yours. I've heard Christians say that, no, a Christian should speak up. I don't speak up. Okay, show me the commandment that says, thou shalt speak up against the leader of the land. The only thing the Bible ever says you do for him is what? Pray. That's what he said. So this pastor friend of mine said, the role of the social critic is to criticize. So when you buy the newspaper, have you noticed that Festus Keyamo has never come up to say one government did anything good? Is it that he's mad? What do you think? He's doing his job. He can't be telling you are doing well. You stop doing well. To make sure you are doing well, he has to continue telling you are doing bad. So you put him under pressure to be trying to prove him wrong. If he becomes your friend, your government will fail. That's the way each person has his role. That's the point I'm going to emphasize. You are not supposed to follow people who are doing their job if it's not your job. You are going on the road. You see Michael Schumacher drive past. Boom! Then you change the gear, they push you out. Oh my God. You should know you are tired of life. Isn't this convoy drivers? Oh, don't enter a car. No, if you see convoy drivers going, just even if you want to follow, just give them small distance. Those guys, I think they select them. They have their reflexes are very sharp. Some of them drive. In fact, those guys who bring cars from Cotonou, they drive at night without headlamps. Don't join them. Even if you're in a hurry, when you see them pass, park. Let them finish passing. Then you can start going. Each person has his or her own role in life. Allow them play it. Your own. Identify your role and play that one. Work on it. Make sure you're always doing it. My friend said, if you're a social critic, go ahead and criticize. Well, thank God for your life. If you're an opposition party, there's no matter how well Obama does, the Republicans think he's wrong. Including when he's doing what they did. Remember Governor Romney? The guy who ran against Obama last time. What they call Obamacare now, Mitt Romney had done it as governor. Yet when he had to run against Obama, he said the first thing he's going to do is to repeal Obamacare. And people said, what's going on here? In fact, even Obama got confused that this guy said his name is Mitt Romney. He cannot be Mitt Romney unless he had Romnesia. That's a new word. Instead of amnesia, he said this is now Romnesia. But the guy was just playing a role. He's in the opposing camp. He has to criticize what these guys are doing. But we, the people of God, the Bible calls the church the pillar, what are the pillar now? Of truth. Something on the pillar of truth. The foundation and the pillar of truth. That is, we are not for anything apart from what? Truth. And our duty is to continue to pray. The understanding I told you I got was this. When people are criticizing the government, that's what I'm talking about. Suddenly something struck me. All right? That when Moses was on the mountain with his hands up. Now when they were fighting against Amalek, remember that Moses was on the mountain. Aaron and Hur were beside him. And then Moses would put up his hand. And then Israel will be winning. And then when he drops his hands, Israel will be losing. Let me ask you a question. Which one was more important? The position of the arms of Moses or the strength in Joshua and his soldiers? No, I didn't hear you. Wait, let's think about it. Wait. You didn't get it right. Maybe. Let's just think about it. If they had better soldiers, who had more strategies, who were clueful as opposed to being clueless, you get the gist? Will it make any difference where the hand of Moses is? What do you think? Yes. If the hands of Moses were up all the time and the soldiers were just mediocre soldiers, would they still win the war?
Yes.
So if they lost the war, would Moses have had the right to come and say, oh, you lazy soldiers? So if the government is misbehaving, does the church have the right to come and say the government is clueless? I don't know whether you are hearing what I'm saying. If they lost that war, Moses couldn't have come down and said, look at all of you. When they say jog, now no go jog. How many of you practiced sword fighting last week? Nobody. I kept on blowing whistle at 5 o'clock, blowing the big goof for all of you to wake up. You refused to wake up. You were sleeping. Now we have lost the war. Aaron and all will have said, excuse me, can I see you small? Oh God, Moses, your hands got tired. Why are you believing this people? Listen, you and I are the Moses, the Aarons, and the Hurs who are on the mountain with our hands up. Somebody's putting his hands up. Somebody's supporting. But we must have the spiritual structure in place if the people fighting downstairs will be able to win the battle. But you know what the church does? They'll gather. Moses, put down your hand. Put down your hand. Are these people worth putting hands up for? Pull down your hands. You've been putting this hand up for the last 1 week. Are you not tired? Listen, are you a Hindu? Remember what I just said. Pull down this hand. Look at the way they are fighting. Say, Moses, come to this side. Look at that boy. He is too fat. Look at him. He likes food too much. Instead of him to jog, he'll be eating. Now, Moses to now come and say, give me the binoculars. Let me check. I told them this is not the kind of sword we use under these circumstances. These generals are clueless. Do you know that's what you and I do most of the time? We don't realize that the Jonathans, the Sambos, the David Marks, and all the governors cannot do better than what we allow them to do with our hands up. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
This 2 days ago, it struck me. The church has no business. It's a sign of personal failure. You shouldn't let it happen. That you are the one sitting down there that say, my God doesn't answer prayer. If only these leaders were better leaders. What we need. One day I had an argument with the Reverend Father on radio. On one Easter, they invited me. I didn't know they invited him to. Two of us met there. We were being interviewed. But I was saying one thing. He was speaking another thing. After I said, Father, look, forget this thing. If I had somebody called in and told the two of us to behave. Because we're beginning to argue. It was not cost more than that day. I was getting angry. I said, look, Father, look, forget this thing you're saying. I don't. It wasn't that. No, really. The argument was on the leaders. The leaders said, okay, who are the leaders? When I was young, Sagari was leader. My classmates are leaders. I don't know whether I get my point. My classmates, the people who are my classmates, they're not the leaders. Everywhere I go now, you know, my classmates are heads of departments. They are coming. I mean, CMDs are my classmates. The current CMD of Federal Neuropsychiatry Hospital, University of Benin, was my classmate. He used to draw me my fellowship on campus. I'm not joking. If he sees me tonight, I say, Pastor Bank, he's the chief medical director. He was my classmate. You see, telling me leaders. Who are the leaders? That was the argument that they said, excuse me, sir, who are the leaders? Which school did they produce them? Which clan in Nigeria is the leader's clan? I should let you know there's something going on that's beyond this leadership matter. So you are training leaders. Who are the ones you are training? By the time you need training these ones, they sack all of them. And they bring new ones you haven't seen before. You better realize that this life is spiritual. That was the cause of the argument that day. Because I hate when I hear that people pointing fingers at the leaders. I say, who are the leaders? I've been alive long enough to realize that there's no group of people called leaders. And how come? They just say, all of you, you are not going to get leaders. Or something. We're going to check what the Bible says clearly. God said, when I want to punish the Egyptian, I put him under the influence of a cruel ruler. It is not the ruler, it's the Egyptian that's the problem. That is, when it's time to punish him, I bring idiots and make him their ruler. They will suffer. That what is more important is the blessedness of the people rather than whoever is in charge. Whoever is in charge can only survive, all right, as long as the spirits of the people below allow him to. That's why I go grow. One day I'm 80 years old. I say, the leaders in the country say, leaders. The leaders are now 50 years your junior. When you were 50 years your senior, you were blaming them. They're 50 years your junior. Have you noticed that they've been changing every few years since? Direct your mind, my brother. Direct your mind, my sister. They are not the problem. You ask yourself, how come as I did here? That means no. Anyway, let me not sit on that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I go into that? All right? Yeah, there's a reason I went into that. Because, you see, I was going to emphasize the fact that in a country like Nigeria, all right, any country in the world, the church must recognize that we are the ones who keep our hands up. And then, did Moses do like this? Guys, win, then I'm going home. That they just do like this. I've released the winning anointing. Aaron and all, tell them, I've released the winning anointing. Joshua and Co, they can fight. I'm going home. Did he do that?
No.
These things are written for our learning. What did he do? He put the hands up. The hands were up for so long. Oh, Jesus is Lord. The hands were up for so long that he got tired. Not just the hands got tired, the waist also got tired. Because after a while, he had to sit. That tells me the hands were not up for 30 minutes. Because we say, okay, maybe after 30 minutes, his hands were tired. Why did the legs get tired? He was there for a very long time. So long that they had to put a stone for him to sit. Then the other people now held his hands up. And I assume they were taking turns. Say, oh, we say, Aaron, I better hold this one first. And they come. So Aaron would just say, Moses, just try and balance for this side. You know, that kind of thing. The hands had to be up until Amalek was defeated. But you know what the church does? They pray two nights, all night prayer, then drop their hands and start blaming Joshua and the other soldiers of Israel for being so lazy that they can't defeat ordinary Amalek. They can't just police the borders of Nigeria. What kind of borders? Can't you police the borders of Nigeria? When I want to tell people, say, go and ask Americans whether they have been able to police their borders in Mexico. You know America, with all the, you know what they call gadgets? You know what they call gadgets? There's no gadget that exists on this earth that Americans don't have. If they didn't have it, once they find that it's existing, they make their own or invent something better. Yet, police the border with Mexico, they can't. Why? That's how difficult it is to police borders. Americans have spy sats. They have all kinds of heat sensor, cold sensor. They have them. Why can't they police the border with Mexico? Because the border is too long. And they are humans. They are not spirits. And I always take consolation in that. If Americans can't do it, Nigerians too can't do it. You know, I'm speaking on a natural plane now. I'm speaking on a natural plane. You say, you know, people now sit down and say, Nigeria government, they can't you police our border with cap? Go and measure it. Go there and go and measure it. I was reading an article yesterday, all right, in BBC News. And one guy was interviewed. He said there was a time he come from around that area. He leaked some Boko Haram secrets, you understand? And they came hunting him. Boko Haram people surrounded where he was. You understand? He went through caves on the hill to come on the other side of the hill. You think Nigeria is flat ground? You know, when you reach, you know, map is on paper. Now it make it look flat. When you get there in real life, that thing is rough terrain. You know what I'm going to say in all of these things? Yet we sit down there, all we do is criticize. What are we doing? We've dropped our arms. We're pointing, Joshua, that's not how to fight. You can't even fight. All the garlic in Egypt has not left your blood. Just there. Do you understand? That's all we do. Instead of keeping our arms up, what are our arms up? Our prayers. Like my friend said, yeah, mountain word pressure, mountain spirit pressure. But asking God, making requests of the Lord, asking God for mercy, and constantly declaring with our words what we want to see. And what I say, that why Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to get tired, is because Moses will get tired. Moses has to sit down. These things take time. You know, I began all of this now. I now remember where I started all of this from. Trying to emphasize that we have to form a habit in life, a word habit. That's what I'm going to emphasize all of things I've said today. That we have to form what? A habit, a word habit. And this is where I began from. I said spiritual things are real. I'm back to the beginning now. All those ones are just, you know, digression. I'll come back to this praying for the nation thing later. Spiritual things are real. They are very real. They are very real. In the realm of the spirit, I said it before, our angels must have swords. My understanding now is that the swords that they will use to fight on our behalf, we issue them out. We are like the armory keeper. Are you getting my point? You are the, is it sergeant or the major, whoever it is, in charge of the armory. You are the one that release to them what they will use to fight on your behalf. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm talking about defeating the devil in your life. Paul said it like this: put on the whole armor of God. He now said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is where my two things I want to emphasize on again today. Is one, the sword of the Spirit, which he said is the word of God. And number two, the shield of faith, which he said, we see it, you will quench the fiery darts or the arrow tipped, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now let me say this one to you again. There was something that happened, that, you know, Jesus was on the sea with the disciples. And then a storm came. Now, please notice this very carefully. The storm came. Then he was asleep. Then they rushed to go and wake him up. All right? They were panicking. What was that? Then, of course, he came out. He rebuked the wind. Somebody explained it once. It wasn't as he just told the wind to stop like that. That what the Bible says is that he talked down at the wind. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Let me explain what I'm saying. That is like, now, I'm quoting somebody. You know, there are things I've studied myself, but this one I heard somebody preach and it makes sense. When the Bible said he rebuked the wind, that this was the meaning of the word rebuke. It was like he belittles the wind. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Yeah, it wasn't just about peace be still. That's true. He used those words. But he belittled the wind. Like, what is, you know, like he talks down at the wind. Like, why are you making noise? Who do you think you are? Who do you want to drown? What are you talking about? Can you kill anybody? Are you getting my point? He belittled the thing. You cannot rebuke what you are afraid of. I hope you got that. You are afraid of me. Rebuke you, rebuke you. This is a rebuking attitude. What? I don't know what I get the point. What? I mean, that's what I'm just like, what? Get away. You know, the guy who just disappeared. It's not just a getaway. It's like when he first did, oh. You know, the guy like, are you okay? You know, I don't know whether you've noticed something before. If I encounter a policeman, I think they learn it. It's policeman or soldier. They try to shout you down. Yes, I think they learn it. It's a way by which they intimidate people. Of course, in Nigeria, we see policemen so much. At my age, you will have learned a lot of things. The other day, I was coming from my house. A policeman just frowned face like this. Do hand like this. clear. So I moved closer to him. He said, move. I shook my hand. That's where I want to go. He said, move for this hand. I said, So when I got close to him, of course, I stopped. I was sent down the road. I stopped. I wound down. He said, go back and park properly. I said, no, I'm going somewhere. So he looked at me. I said, why are you going to stop me for? You know, see my house here. Ah, he said, oh, God, your house is here. No come greet me all these days. You get the deal? You know, that was how we solved it. I said, how can you be mounting checkpoint near my house and you be stopping me? I said, no. You should know me by now. Ah, good, no, you don't call me a concrete me whether I don't chop. I said, okay. I get the gist. You get my point. No, that's it. And of course, we started laughing. You know, of course, it became a friendly thing. But then, if I just quickly parked and... officer, good morning, sir. Hey, can I see your papers? Yeah, it's body language. Yeah, I know, sir, I'll not be criminal. You understand my point? If I was telling me about one man, one police officer, one day, if he's on the road, in fact, there was a day he arrested one guy for nothing. He said, this guy has committed. That is... Now, and he wasn't joking. You know. I don't know if I told me the story. That he was an experienced policeman. He just saw a man going, hey, you, stop. He collected the guy, arrested him, and held him there. And started, you know, he's an American policeman, started, you know, scanning whether any crime had... And true, the guy just left the crime scene. That's how he grabbed the guy. He grabbed him before he has seen anything that he did. Now, let me grab the meeting I'm trying to explain, all right, about this. And that's how life is. You know, that's the talk about lions. You know lions. They say it's better to charge at the lion than to run away from it. That is, if you're ever in the wilderness, a lion comes after you, the worst thing you do for your life is to run. Never. That is, this is not bravery now. This is common sense. That is, the reflex is to run. They say, but please don't run. That if you run, the guy is energized. The only chance of surviving you have, naturally speaking, is to turn. The guy is charging like this, you charge for it also. After a while, the guy goes gauge. He said, this guy will like to chop something where I don't understand. No. This is proven animal behavior. That the guy will, most likely he will break. He will never go and watch every film you have seen on lions. They are always the one chasing something. They are the ones chasing. That if you turn around, the guy is coming, you charge at it. After a while, it will break. I mean, have you ever saw the Ghost Must Be Crazy? Remember Ghost Must Be Crazy? That bushman just came out and charged at the lion. The lion looks, oh my God, this guy must be, he must have eaten something that I don't understand. Now, back to the, that's what rebuke is. Rebuke is not just about speaking words of rebuke. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that turns, that talks down at the matter, at the issues of life. They tell you that, hey, dollar is now 180. Do you know? Now, there's a reason I'm going through all of this. I'm not explaining the fiery darts, the fiery arrows, the fire-tipped arrows of the enemy. That's why I'm trying to explain all of this talk I'm talking. What he's trying to do, all right, is to bring you to that you know the word I'm looking for? Is it submissive now? Or anyway, bringing you down to submissive, inferior, subordinate, you know, the down level. So I can talk down at you from above. And that's the first step to overcoming. So you hear all the stories, say, dollar is now 180. What? What are we going to do in this country? What are we going to do? Now you see, you've bent your head. What are we going to do? My God. That's it. That's the opposite of rebuke. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this is the first step of rebuking. Dollar is now 180. Guys, we got to have more naira. I'll just keep walking. I don't know that whether I noticed that. It's now 180, so we got to have more naira. And just keep walking. It doesn't mean we're not going to do what we're going to do. So, 180, no problem. That's the first step at rebuke. It's not just I rebuke you. Please, I hope you catch what I'm saying. It's an attitude that looks down at things. So he just faced the storm and talked down at the storm. It wasn't just a matter of be still. It's like,
okay, now all this roaring and jumping, what do you intend to do with it? Okay, you blow wind. Now, wind we never see before. You want to drown those who are protected by the power of God? You smoke something. You know, are you seeing the thing? Is it an attitude? The wind goes, I wait, just the shakes. My hands start shaking. You get it? You get it? The very tipped arrows are the things that Satan sends to set your life, your heart on fire. They don't spoil things. No. What they do is to destabilize your conquering spirit. And the fairy tipped arrows are mostly words, news, things you hear. That's it. Things that speak against the word of God. What happened was that when the 10 spies went to the promised land, let's see the biblical story now. They went to the promised land. They came back with fire tipped arrows and were shooting on behalf of the enemy into the hearts of the people. You know what Moses said, or the rest of Israel said? They said, our brethren who went there made the hearts of the people do what? Melt. Can you see? It's a fire. The hearts melted. The thing is coming. There are giants in the land. That's it. The fire is being burned by that news. Then the hearts melt. The hearts melt. And that's why the Bible says, Paul was speaking. You want to defeat, because he said, he talked about take on the whole armor of God. He said, our weapon, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against, you know, demonic forces. And this is how we do it. We take up the shield of faith with which we quench. You know, that's the idea. Now, if you know how it works, the shield is like the arrow is coming, you block it. And it's not just a matter of, I don't like this arrow. Which kind of arrow is this one? No, it's what you block it. You block it. And the way you block it is the same. In fact, this is where I understand it. That shield is the use of the word of God in defense. That's what it is. It's the same word you use, but when you are using it as an offensive weapon, it's called a sword. It's the same word. It's the same thing. Even the salvation, helmet of salvation, how does it come? How are they saved? Is it not by hearing with faith? It's still the same thing. It's still the same word, depending on what it is doing, that describes the proportion of the armor that has been talked about. It's what you are using it for. So that's the point. So, we are fighting the devil. What he wants to do is, as every news must be addressed first of all. You know, people said, like, every country has had plane crashes, all right? But there was a time Nigeria had quite a bit of it in a short period. And then after that, there was none again, no commercial plane crashed in Nigeria for a very long time, until that one that crashed Abuja to Lagos. That was the year before the last, right? What was the airline again? Dana. 2012. Okay. Now, by the time that Dana one happened, somebody dug up an old report to show you the kind of rot in the aviation sector. And send it to my professional mailing group. We're all pathologists in the group. A lot of people there. They say, from now, me, Narodo. No, that's what we're talking about. Fairy tipped what? Arrows. Set the hearts of men on fire. Make you begin to fear. So, that day, I decided to respond. I just gave facts. I wasn't talking to believers, just the professional group. So I just wanted to talk to the people. I said, number one, I gave figures. I said the year, one particular year, I think the year before that, Federal Reserve released the figures of road fatalities, all right, for the year. And it was quite a number of thousands, all right, the ones reported that they were aware of. So I did all of that. And I told him simply, all the planes that have crashed in Nigeria since the foundation of the country, I've not killed as many people as died in six months in road traffic accidents. I'm not exaggerating, as a matter of fact. Yes, we know there are more cars on the road, more people travel on the road. But it's a matter of fact that it said that you are more likely to die in an accident on your way to the airport than inside a plane. Worldwide speaking. Plane crashes are extremely rare. You said, but we hear about it all the time. Everyone that happens, you hear it. But the road ones that happen, nobody, it's not worse. It doesn't make news. say the other day I was coming from work, I saw one guy, I don't know how many, but I saw a lot of people around. One keke napep had been squashed by one PMT bus. And you saw it. Yes. That one won't make it into any news. It won't make it to the news at all. It's not news. Keke napep, person died from jamming by bus. It happens every day. So it's not, these people can't spare that column unless they need fillers. You know, they call fillers. They don't produce finish. There are some empty spaces. Any bad news to take, sell them, put keke napep guy there. Now, I'm making an issue here. So my colleague wanted to set the hands of people on fire, and then you're talking to professionals, and a lot of these people fly up and down. And listen to me. I'm going somewhere. When Jesus came and rebuked that wind, you know the first thing he said to them? He said, where is what? Your faith. He did not say, don't mind the devil if he won't try you. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying there. You know, we as believers, we tend to turn the blame around. The devil wants to. Jesus didn't say so. He looked at the disciples. What is wrong with you? These storms, they are normal in life. They will keep coming. They will keep coming. Let's finish landing tomorrow. Just pray I come with you on it. They will keep coming. These problems of life, so the problem is, do I have my faith or I don't? That's what Jesus was saying. He laid the emphasis on it. He said, where is your faith? Why? Because if you had my kind of faith, you would not have woken me up. Not because the storm was not serious, but this feeling of impending doom that made you rushing to wake me up would not have come. You'll have just known that, why is this storm delaying our journey? I don't know whether you get the point. It's a different attitude. Are you following the point I'm making? Are you following the point I'm making? That is, that's why I said, then where is your faith? He said, it's the shield of what? Faith. And this is where we understand it. If you are grounded with the word of God, are you getting my point? You use it to interpret every situation of life. That is what we mean when we are talking about lifting up the shield of what? Of faith. Let me give you an example. You read the news. Ebola virus just killed 85 people. There are many ways to interpret it. Of course, the typical Nigerian street method is, my God, if he enters the news, everybody will die. Because our government does not have, are you seeing? We don't have the kind of structure to quickly contain this kind of virus. Can you imagine? If it was in Nigeria that this SARS virus came out, it would, you know, if you see China, they have this structure to contain it. You know, if they start telling you all kinds of stories, that is, in fact, we are dead. But if a man of faith hears this news of outbreak somewhere, so now, wow, how people are just dying like this? God have mercy on them. Thank you for mercy. Nothing will come near my house in Jesus' name. Close the newspaper and continue his work. I don't know whether you notice the difference in attitude. A lot of talk we talk is fear. We are afraid for ourselves. Yeah, that's it. But faith, I mean, sometimes, you know, I was telling Israel the other day, Israel, you know, yesterday I was telling you that those who don't have faith in this life, how do they survive? Well, I was driving home on Sunday night and I saw fire on the fence of the house, you know. Zzz, fresh leaves burning. You know, wet leaves. You know why? 11,000 volt wire, high tension cable fell on it at my gate. You know, that's the gate to my street. So I just called Chris. That's one of our guys here. I just said, Chris, I beg, look at what happened. He works in PHCN. So he called one of the engineers who's now switched off the supply to our area. Now, I was not thinking. Of course, first that comes to your mind is, you know, like that Sunday morning, my son Akinlu took the smallest boy in the house, parents, and walked alone to church. I don't know what I get on saying. Because the church is very close to the house. He just said, Akinlu, are you ready? Yeah, take your brother, start going to church. And he strolls to church. You know, the first that comes to your mind is, ah, oh God, thank you, thank you. The tension cable did not fall in the morning. Thank you. He waited till night, till my whole family has entered into the house. He goes, ah, ah. And then suddenly they all come, and if you know what they call high tension cable, I don't want to scare you. Okay, you're only scared. You know this normal electricity, you know, is 220 volts. You know that? That those ones I'm talking about, those three that run like this, they're 11,000 volts. Some people say, eh? Yes, that's that. That's not the highest. Those ones that run through the bush, they are 330,000 volts. So don't go near. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, there was a time when I went for a revision course. Professor Adesomi used electrocution to give, he's a forensic pathologist, gave us a lecture on how to diagnose electrocution at autopsy. And the story he told was people who finished rioting. No, they were running because police was chasing them, dispersing the crowd. And 8 people died. The 5 people died. You know how they died? I won't give the details, but the detail was that somebody was running. It was a rainy day. So he held a pole, you know, electricity pole. Sorry, a sign. You know, this said, okay, so yeah, sold here, those kind of things. Rested on one in the rain. It happened to be leaking ordinary 220 volts. And that was it. Boom! That person got electrocuted. The next person didn't touch the pole, touched the person who was electrocuted. And that's how like 4 people died. This can be dangerous. And I know all of this. And the gate of my street, 11,000 volts, come for road. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. God forbid that somebody say, and they say, don't go near there. The one way say, don't go near. And the one way go near, you get what I'm saying? As I was telling Israel, I said, those who don't have faith, they try. Because I know if I didn't have faith, instant panic. And it's not like I'll not pack out from the neighborhood. Where do you want to run to? This is the, see this one in the center of the road you're seeing here is 100 and, I think, how many thousand volts? Any engineer here? This one you're seeing is over 100,000 volts. This one in front of this building, running between the road. You know that one that they had to block with concrete, this thing? Yeah, the voltage is over 100,000 volts. The one in your house is 220. That is the one this is the one that run down from Kanji and stuff like that. Now, you know I'm telling the whole story. When that thing fell, I just told Israel, I said, Israel, those who don't have faith, they try. Because the first thing, of course, I thought about my children, they walk up on that road. I just said, no. My children are not alone. Now, that's where I'm going. They are not alone. Every time you see them walking, their angels are walking with them. So a picture just came to my mind. If my son was going near there and the thing wanted to fall down, an angel would just go and block it like this. The boy won't know. He will keep walking after he has gone. So I won't drop ammo. Anybody safe here? Any grace on your head? If you don't have grace, you go die. You know that kind of thing. Now, I wasn't assigned to protect you. I'm sorry. The boy I was assigned to protect is in front. Now, listen to me. God is my witness. That was what came to my mind. And when that came to my mind, I declared it again. I just spoke that word into the air. Don't forget, the angels, they need it. What the devil wants to do is to scare you. How do you deal with the devil in your life? Don't let him scare you. That's what I'm trying to say. You talk down at every... That is, you know the meaning of the word rebuke now. All right? You rebuke every situation. It's not just if I say that, situation, stop. No, it's more like you belittle it, you know? You respond with it with an attitude of an overcomer. Are you getting my point? You know? It's like you're wearing shoes. You know, scorpions are very dangerous, you know? You know that? Scorpions, they can sting, all right? Very, very painful. And if you react badly to them, you can even die as a human being. But imagine that you're walking on the... You've seen a scorpion before. And then he can't stand in front of the center of the road and he can't raise his tail. And you're wearing shoes. Do you run? Maybe if you have a small boy, you might run. Normal adults say, what is that? You know, there are two ways of... You know, there's killing like this. There's killing and squashing. And you know, it's reflex. Are you getting my point? Even though it's dangerous, you're not afraid of it. You don't see a scorpion in your house and disappear. You hunt it down. Come out from there. Come out from there. If you come here again, I'll kill you a second time. Just die only once and let me bury you now. You are getting my attitude. What I'm going to explain now. It's an overcomer's attitude. That's how you defeat the devil in your life. You must have this rebuking attitude towards things. It's not just to speak, you know, like speak the word of God in fear. There are two sides of it. I'm talking about the shield of faith now. The shield of faith is that attitude that the word has built into you so that bad news don't scare you. You get what I'm saying? So that bad news don't scare you. Very crucial. The last one, which is the sword of the spirit, we talked about it before. Let me just revise it briefly and then we'll close. And what do we do with that? It's simple. That's how we give instruction, that is, with the word of God, to things that will happen in our lives. What do I mean by that? Remember I said last time, when you hear news of lack, trouble, turmoil, the future setting and all of that, I don't know what the future holds. I only know who holds the future. Do you get my point? Look, this is my testimony. I don't know. People say they looked at tomorrow and they were afraid. I can't remember that ever happening to me. Why? It's simple. Before I left school, I was already being cooked with the word of God. After my youth service, I met Bishop David Oyedepo. That man is dangerous. Listen, if you are afraid of life, I've not been to Chile. How many of you go to Winners here? Yeah, Winner man, let me see your hand. I mean, Winner Bishop Oyedepo man. Okay, Jonathan. Okay, two people there. But, you know, I don't know how things are now. Those, if you listen to Bishop Oyedepo, in fact, normally when you see Bishop for the first time, everybody gets the same reaction. They are surprised at his size. When you hear him talk, what you expect is a giant. That was, he said, listen, I can never be poor. I found out that poverty is a disease. And that God, you know, when the man is talking, when you hear him, you assume that the man is like 8 feet. Weighing about 180 kg, you know, that kind of thing. When you see him for the first time, you are surprised. The man is literally 10,000 times bigger inside than he is outside. When he does this, when I heard him, he infused into me the spirit of the overcomer, which with the word of God. It wasn't possible for me to be afraid of anything. I'm not joking about it. I still remember once I was crossing the road. I didn't look. This was about my colleague. I went to church, Covenant Christian Center, to go and pick up some tapes. I was going to travel. So I had to take it for my brethren when I would travel. So I went to church to pick it because of the park. I was going to Benin. I didn't realize that once it's a dual carriage road, but one side is two-way. You get my point? It's a very funny arrangement. I don't know how it is now, but those days, one side is two-way, but the other side is one-way. And it's a dual carriage road. So reflexly, you know, you look at one side. I crossed the one side that was one way and assumed that the other side was going the other way. Not knowing that other side was two-way. So I just walked. If I had not walked, I had to jump over the divide. I just jumped into the center of the speeding bus, the center of the road, and the bus was coming. I didn't look. I remember the bus driver did one sharp swerving so that he wouldn't knock me down. The conductor came out of the bus, looked, he was bewildered, like, why is this guy trying to die? And I remember very well. My heart did not race. I just smiled and waved to the driver in apology, you know, like, please, please, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you know. But I remember what came to my mind. I can't die now. Your boss will enter into the bush rather than me die. Look. I remember it very well. What I'm saying was like around 19, maybe 98. I just said, look, I'm not going to die now. You hit me. But thank God though, that you were a good driver. Otherwise, inside bush, you don't enter with that. No, really. That was the act. It was, when you listen to Bishop Oyedepo, that's how you think. Not because of the man, but because of the word of God that he pumps into your system. I remember very well. I just said, that. It wasn't like, brethren, praise the Lord for me. Today, God, something almost happened. God, a miracle. Now, those things are good, amen. I didn't say you don't thank God, though. I'm just saying that I didn't have that kind of reaction that I almost died. I said, almost doesn't kill a bird. I'm not planning to die now. I don't know whether you got that. That is the shield of faith. You are not going to scare me. So, but with every situation like that, I issue a few swords to the angels. That's what I want to emphasize. There is always a word that will now throw out of that situation. Yes, the shield of faith has built a kind of attitude. Yes, that's the word. It's built a kind of attitude which is like wearing a thick coat of mail, you know, iron around you. So they fire the arrows, it doesn't burn. Your heart don't melt. Your heart doesn't melt. Now listen, Joshua and Caleb, they heard the same things, right? And the other people. But they had a different attitude. That's the shield of faith. So the sight they saw did not cause them to be afraid. Then they now began to declare. Their defenses have departed from them. We can overcome because our God is with us. Are you getting my point? Those were the words that kept the strength of Caleb for 45 years.
Do you get the point I'm making?
That is how we overcome this devil in our lives. God, listen to me, he has said something about every situation in life. I hope you understand that. He has said something about every situation in life. He has said something about every situation in life. He has said something about every situation of your life. This is a faith habit. It's not how I feel. Remember I said that before? It's not how I feel. It is just what the truth is. That is what I declare. I just declare that. It's not like I feel. I feel so healthy. The doctor says I'm sick. Yet I feel so healthy. Does he know what he said? I don't know what I get my point. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how I feel. It is what is spoken. What has been written. I just say it. I don't feel like it is besides the point. And that's one way by which you direct. You know, I was listening to the Bible again today. And John the Baptist was supposed to have done something to remove the disobedient from the attitude, to convert them to the attitude of the righteous. So I was thinking, what is the attitude of the righteous? If he's changing the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, that tells you the attitude of the righteous is what? Is what? Obedience. Simple. Now, obedience to what? That's another issue. The obedience to what? The word of God. It's simple. So this is how it is with believers also. It is not how I feel. It is that it is the word of God. So how do I cause myself to obey it? It is simple. I told you before. All you simply do is declare the word. Declare it all the time. Make it a life's habit. That is how I respond to every situation, including when I want to disobey it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me add this one to it and I close with it. You don't obey the word of God with determination. No. That is why your New Year, what do they call that again? Resolution. Yeah, New Year resolutions will always fail. They always fail. You know why? They are built on human strength, human determination, but it doesn't work. The word of God, you don't obey with determination. So how do you obey it? It's simple. This book of the law shall not depart from where? From where? Please, let me hear it again. He said, you will do what? Meditate therein day and night. Let's look at the word meditate again. The word meditate doesn't mean to ruminate. Many people don't know it, but let's say it clearly. It doesn't mean to think about. Now sit down and say, let's meditate on the word. This morning I was meditating. Now that is English. That's not Bible grammar. No. So what are you meditating on? I'm just meditating on what we'll do between now and tomorrow. You cannot meditate on what you do between now and tomorrow, really. That Bible sense. What does it mean to meditate? To constantly speak. That's what it means. To mutter. The word is to mutter. So he said, if you want to obey, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall do what? Meditate therein day and night. For what purpose? So that you will be careful to observe, to do all that is written therein. Obedience is a consequence of meditation. Did you catch it? It is what you talk about that controls how you behave. That's what I'm saying. It is what you talk about that controls how you behave. And that's why it's not every kind of music you sing. I've thought about songs before. Why did God invent songs? I said, it makes meditation easy. That is the answer. If you ever ask yourself, why did God invent singing? This is the answer. It makes meditation easy. If what you to be saying something again and again and again, you know, after a while, man, they tire. But if it's a song, you can't get tired of it. You can't get, I mean, you will sing it like the other day. This song by Ravi Travis, I have, many people have different versions of it. This one, it's all about you. You know the song? It's all about. So I just got the song again, you know. I've played it by now over 100 times. So my wife almost tired. I put it on repeat inside my car. Drive for 30 minutes, the same song plays. It's exactly 4 minutes, the one I have. And if you play again and again and again, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about. Look, I keep on saying that thing again and again. It becomes a song. That is controlling how I react to God. That is why. No matter how much you like Bob Marley, give him space. Wait till I talk. Wait till I talk. You got to have Kaya now. You may think it's a song. Wait, you just be singing it. You're in the bathroom. Got to have Kaya now. You,
First day, second day, third day, no worry, no worry. Then one day it will rain, and you have an ego smoking friend visiting you, and your body will say to you, you get to have iron. Now so man they begin crazy. You hear what I say? It is not every song you sing, no matter how nice it sounds. You'll hear the rhythm, it talks nonsense, depart from it, it is not the place of your rest, for it is what? Polluted. I told you the story before, the first day I heard Shaggy, I did not believe there were two people like Shaggy on this earth. And to cause confounding in my soul, I heard the song say, why me, Lord? You know, I was hearing from myself. I just said, the guy, they go, shush. Now go buy studio. Oh, the Lord is good. I won't tell you more than that. The first track, look and say, this guy, you will literally go to hell. That is, you will die. This one, I have fire. There's no begging. You are going to have fire if you continue singing like this. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, listen, that's why even songs, it's not every song you listen. It's not every song you just feel like you're nodding away. Even if it's not gospel, listen to it. Even if it's so-called, you know, gospel, I want you to say. You listen to it, some of them are saying like, what are going on in our country? The church has to arise and speak again. I say, what's this bros? Excuse me. Thank you very much. Go and find somebody else. Say, Pastor, when you are talking the one with the praise God, I will buy that one. Anyone that you are doing politics in music, I know they buy. I'm not buying. Because instead of praying for government, what do I start doing? I go begin to abuse them. What controls obedience is what we talk about all the time. Let me say it again. What controls obedience is what you talk about all the time. It's not determination. That is a summary of our message, how to deal with the devil in your life. The devil is not a problem. As per, you cause a problem in your life, he tell you won't achieve when God says you can achieve. No. He can't do that. All he can do is what we have described. He tries to scare you. That's what we're talking about today. When he scares you, the heart melts. When the heart melts, the heart cannot receive. Jesus looked at them and said, where is thy faith? When I heard that thing again today, I said, what the Lord was saying simply is that your faith is crucial to your existence. Did you hear what I said? That what? My faith is crucial to my existence. It's crucial to my survival. It's crucial to my prosperity. It's crucial to my healing. And the devil knows that. So he's always attacking that faith of mine. How does he attack it? Fiery, King James says, fire-tipped arrows, news, bad news, trying to cause my heart to melt. And it is, if I want to overcome the devil, I tell you, let me say this and then I close with it. People pray against the devil too much without doing the things that actually overcome the devil. They pray against him too much, but the thing that actually overcomes the devil, they don't do it. What is the reason I've taught this series for these few days? They make their members instruments of unrighteousness, and they want to overcome the devil, and it doesn't work. And it doesn't work. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you are blessed. If that's the case, let's quickly rise to our feet, declare the word of God, and close in the next 1 minute. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Quickly, let's just give it. We're closing now. We're closing now. I didn't even know how to talk for this long. Been on my feet the whole day. Let's just give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Just thank him. Just thank him. Just declare in your own words that you are taking up the shield of faith. It's what you say with your mouth. That's what you obey. So say in your own words, I take up the shield of faith. My heart is solid. My heart is strengthened. I will not fear. Just say it, I will not fear. Say the word of God, that's the sword of the Spirit. I take it and I overcome with it in the name of Jesus. Say, I speak only that which the Lord has said concerning me. I make it the meditation of my heart. I make it the confession of my lips. Just say that I make it the meditation of my heart. I make it the confession of my lips. And by that word, I overcome. David said, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall.
It is not by his own strength. He was saying that that is what God has done in my life. And I'm declaring to us again how God does it for us as believers is when we take his word, use it to build strength into our souls. That is the shield of faith. And then we declare it all the time, giving our lives direction. That is how we overcome the devil. When Jesus came, he didn't say, devil, I will not obey you. He said, this is what the word said. It is written. It is what is written that controls what you do. When you put what is written on your mouth, it controls how your life responds to situations. So declare it again. Say, the word of God is the sword that I use. I will not be afraid. I take the word of God all the time. I feed upon it. My mind is renewed. My mind is renewed. My mind is renewed. My mind is renewed. Let's declare this and we'll close with it. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, like you believe it, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am filled with the knowledge of his will.
I have spiritual understanding.
I have spiritual understanding.
Say, I have spiritual knowledge.
I have spiritual knowledge.
I have spiritual wisdom.
I have spiritual wisdom.
Say, I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
And I please him in all respects.
And I please him.
I bear fruit in every good work.
I bear fruit in every good
and
work.
I increase in the knowledge of God.
Say
that I don't walk by what I see.
I don't walk by what I see.
I don't walk by what I hear.
I don't walk by what I hear.
I walk only by the word of God.
I walk only by the word of God.
The word of God renews my mind.
The word of God renews my mind.
And with it I interpret everything in life.
And with it I interpret everything.
Say it
in
again.
Life.
I'm filled with spiritual understanding.
I am filled with spiritual understanding.
Therefore I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Let me just give you an assignment. Every day you wake up, say it. I am filled with spiritual understanding. I have spiritual wisdom. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respect. I bear fruit in every good work, and I increase in my knowledge of God. That prayer has been the most powerful prayer I've encountered in the last, in fact, in modern times. That's all I can say. That prayer is so powerful. You pray it for yourself. You pray it for people. You pray it for me. I want it too. Amen?
Amen.
Please pray it for me too. Don't worry, just ask me. I hope you pray for me also. Once a leader they come for prayer and says, "We are praying for the man of God that's about to come." And you wake up in the morning, pray for me too. You understand?
Yes,
I need that spiritual wisdom. I need that spiritual understanding. One thing about spiritual things that you can't afford to be at the same level. Young, you choose a life is like a bicycle. You are riding up a hill. Once you stop pedaling, you are rolling backwards. That's the way it is. Once you stop pedaling, you are rolling backwards. So that word prayer, pray for yourself, pray for your loved one, pray for me also on a daily basis. Even if you are not making requests, you are making declarations concerning your life. I am filled with spiritual wisdom. I'm filled with spiritual understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You know, I'm filled with the knowledge of his will. Very important. I'm filled with knowledge of his will. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and I please him in all respect, and I bear fruit in every good work. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship quickly. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We walk above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus. Amen.